Today is my pleasure even to share with you God's word from this letter by the Apostle Paul to Titus, from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. I think I speak for every parent in our midst, and I have full sympathies for young parents in our midst who are struggling with raising children. And every parent who is nursing babies, breastfeeding them, that I believe it is the prayer of every parent that our children and our babies will grow up quickly. I remember many years ago when my firstborn son, who was born premature, 2.5 months early, and he had to spend his first 2 months in the hospital because he arrived 2.5 months early at 1.2 kilograms. They would not discharge him because he would not be able to feed on his own. He can't breathe on his own. And there are many medical issues for a very, very young baby, right? So he spent 2 months in the hospital, and he was discharged at 2.2 kilograms. He came home. As young parents, we were lost. We don't know how to take care of such a tiny baby. We were quite helpless. We prayed to the Lord. And I had to feed him with a tube initially that goes straight into the stomach because he could not suck from the bottle at that point in time. And at that time, it took me like ages to feed him. I remember it was like 45 minutes to feed just a little bit of milk. And I wish that he would grow up fast. I wish he would grow up fast that I don't have to feed him. And take 45 minutes. And very often when I was feeding him, I would be falling asleep. But it was exciting to see him grow. In the first month, he doubled his weight from 2.2 to 4 kilograms within the first month when he was home. And it gives us great joy to see him growing up, drinking more and more milk, drinking faster. And very soon, he turned from lightweight to heavyweight. In fact, his weight was the 99th percentile within 2 years, right? And it was great joy for us as parents to see him progress from milk to semi-solids and then to solid meat. And slowly he grew heavier and heavier, taller and taller. Eventually he became a toddler and a teenager. He went to school like any other teenagers. He became an adult, went for national service, and he became very strong. In fact, he's now taller than I am, right? And he is married. And as I mentioned to some of you, he will be, God willing, having a baby this year, right? Now, I share this because this is a parallel of what is expected of us as Christians to be making disciples, right? God expects us, when we are born again, when we have belief in Christ, to be like babies, to be drinking milk, to be hungry for the milk of God's word, which is the gospel, and the simple things in the Bible, to be reading through the Bible, things that we can understand, to understand the catechism classes so that we can grow in the faith, and then to progress on to other parts of the Bible and to the doctrines, the difficult doctrines, the solid meat. God expects us to be growing in our faith and not to be just a little baby who will never grow up, because that would be a tragedy. Just as we expect our children to grow, likewise, we as spiritual babies must grow. And it is sad for us, you know, especially as a pastor, to see many in our churches who are very happy to remain spiritual babies. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to go on and progress to solid meat. They don't want to grow up to be adults, to be making disciples of other people. And that is why today it is my role as a pastor to exhort you with the Word of God, to encourage you to grow in the Christian faith and to be making disciples for Christ. And we have read in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, about God's will for us to be making disciples. Right? The background to Titus is that this is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to Titus, who is a pastor of churches on the island of Crete. You see in this map where the island of Crete is, and some of you will have the privilege of going to on this Turkey and Greece trip. I don't know whether Crete will be one of those destinations, but you can see on the map that it's in the southern part of Greece, right? Below Athens and Corinth, and below Ephesus, below Turkey, right? This is where Crete is. The church at Crete was probably started when Paul went on one of his missionary journeys together with Titus, who was his co-laborer, and they saw that there were already many converts and believers on the island of Crete. And so he persuaded Titus to stay on the island of Crete to be the pastor of the Christians on the island of Crete. So Titus was the pastor of perhaps a number of churches, many congregations on the island of Crete. And how do we know that? Because in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete." Right, "I left Titus in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, the things that are lacking, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." So the island of Crete is not a very small island. In fact, it is an island that is about 12 times the size of Singapore. It's 12 times larger than Singapore, right? So it is quite a big island with a number of cities. And you can imagine a number of churches as well, a number of congregations. So Titus was the pastor of a number of these congregations on the island of Crete. And what was he to do? He was to do a number of things. All right. Because Titus is a new pastor, he was faced with a number of problems. And so the Apostle Paul knew about these problems, such as heretics. There were false teachers within the church. Whenever there are new churches, this is what happens, right? And we see that also in many countries, whether it's in Africa or in China, where the churches are growing, you will see there are many false teachers that will come up even within the church. And so the role of the pastors is to correct these false teachings and also at the same time to help members to grow in sanctification, to help them to live a holy life, to turn away from their past sinful worldly life, to become godly Christians, to be disciple makers for Christ. Therefore, in this letter, the Apostle Paul wanted Paul to focus on two main priorities. Right? Firstly, he wanted to make sure that there are elders, good elders, godly, qualified elders in every city. We believe in the plurality of elders. We are a Presbyterian church. We believe that every church should be governed by a number of elders so that the church will be fed even the word of God. And of course, elders include pastors as well. So leadership was very important. And chapter 1 in Titus focuses on the need and qualifications for elders, qualified elders. And the second priority that Titus was to focus on in these churches was discipleship, to make disciples, to build up the church members so that every church member will be a disciple maker. We will know how to reach out to others, non-Christians, and also to bring them into God's kingdom, and thereafter to build them up in the most holy faith. And so chapter 2 is the focus of our text this morning, of our consideration this morning. How do we disciple members? And then chapter 3 will talk about the heretics that need to be dealt with. All right, so firstly, making disciples involves some general instructions that the Apostle Paul gave to Titus, and then he will talk about specific groups in the church that are specific instructions. All right, so the overview of this message, just two main points. Firstly, general instructions that Titus is to give to his church to teach sound doctrine, to avoid foolish questions, to counsel heretics. And secondly, there are specific instructions for every group in the church, whether it be men, women, or leaders of the church. Firstly, general instructions. He is to teach sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul instructs Titus that he has to focus his time as the leader of these churches to regularly speak sound doctrine on the pulpit, in prayer meetings, in family worship, in family seminars, in Sunday school, in youth groups, in cell groups, in Bible study groups. It is important that our church fellowship the youth fellowship, the Bible studies be centered primarily on the Word of God, on preaching the Word of God. And the Word of God is sufficient for us. We don't need to go anywhere else. Not on fun activities. You know, there are many churches today that are focused on fun activities to draw young people to church. I was quite sad recently when I had visited another church, when I preached in another church, to see the young people after worship service, after having attended worship service, gathering together in the church lounge, playing cards. Playing cards, right? In church, right? And this is a Bible-believing church. Right, we ought not to be using such worldly means to draw young people to church. We ought to be focused on the Word of God. Already we are not spending enough time teaching, preaching, and understanding the Word of God. We need to double our efforts. Every moment, every second, every minute when the young people are in church, we need to be teaching them, giving them, feeding them the Word of God. And they should be like hungry babies crying out for milk. I'm not having enough. I need to have more milk, right? Like every baby who is being breastfed. Right? So our churches should be focused on the Word of God. Right? Paul says that we must focus on sound doctrine. Right? Verse 1 of chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, which is from the Greek word didasko. Right, and chapter 1, verse 9, he says the same thing in the previous chapter. Holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able, this is referring to the elders and the pastors, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And so that is the role of the pastors and the elders of the church, to give the word of God, to feed the flock with a sound doctrine, with the word of God. Now, what is sound doctrine? Teaching that is sound, free from error, that conforms to the law of God and to the Word of God. And that is what Jesus taught us and taught His disciples. And by extension, all of us are Christ's disciples. All of us are Christ's followers. That this is what we must do in the Great Commission. Right? Sound means free from error and correct doctrine. All right? And then Christ reminds us in the Great Commission, right? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? There are two Greek words that are translated with the same English word teach. So I've highlighted here for you in blue, right? The first is found in verse 19. And the second teach is found in verse 20. But they come from two different Greek words. And that is significant because it conveys slightly different meanings. Firstly, we are to teach. Metateo means to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Make disciples. So that's the first thing. To make disciples means to evangelize, right? And then to help them to be followers of Christ, to build them up to be followers of Christ. And how do you do that? That's where verse 20 comes in. Teaching them, didasko, instructing them with God's word. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So this didasko, which is what we saw earlier on Titus 2 and Titus 1, is to teach all the commandments of God, the whole counsel of God, from Genesis to Revelation. We are to teach the Word of God. And that's why in this church and in many Bible-believing churches, we teach the Catechism, we teach sound doctrines found in the Westminster Confession of Faith, the shorter Catechism, the larger Catechism. These are all good materials for children, for young people, for adults, so that all of us may be grounded in the faith, that we are not confused and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every new doctrine that comes into the church from time to time. And there will be. There will be false teaching that will come from time to time. There will be hyper grace, right, that we hear from some of these churches nearby to us. Right? There will be doctrines on prosperity gospel, health and wealth gospel. These are all these new doctrines that are false teachings that needs to be debunked and need to be corrected. You know, when I first got saved in a charismatic church, I was not really taught sound doctrine. So I was confused. I didn't know what they were doing. They were speaking in tongues, and then they have these prophecies coming up from time to time. People coming up on stage and say, oh, the Lord spoke to me last night in a vision, right? And this is what God revealed to me. You know, and then they were saying all sorts of things, you know, praying in tongues and all that. And I didn't understand what was that. I was 2 years with them, right? And eventually I decided that that was enough, right? I would have none of that because I didn't understand what was happening. And I was not growing in the faith because they were not teaching sound doctrine. They didn't have Sunday school. Well, they have some Bible studies, but the Bible studies are focused on evangelism, which is good, but it does not feed us with solid meat, right? Which is what I needed 2 years into the faith, right? And so the Lord led me to the church of my girlfriend then, Wendy, now my wife, and I went to Life Church, Life VP Church, and that was where I got solid doctrine. I attended the Sunday school class every Sunday, 1 hour between the two services, morning services, and that was where I learned what was charismatism all about, and the false teaching in charismatism, their wrong understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that was where I was instructed about the differences between different denominations. And that was how I grew in the faith. And I was able to discern truth from error. And I have been in the church ever since. Right? So this is so important, that the importance of discipling one another, of growing in the faith, of helping each other, not just drinking milk, but taking solid meat, so that we understand the whole counsel of God, that we are able, therefore, from then onwards, to make disciples of others. So if there's a non-Christian who comes to the church, whom you invite into the church, who got saved, you should be able to read the Bible with the person. You should be able to tell the person how to pray, how to do your quiet time, and how to disciple others, and how to evangelize to others. Right? You should be able to do that. Are you able to do that? If you are not able to do that, if you are not currently doing that, then something is wrong with you. Because you have heard how many sermons, how many Bible messages have you heard by now? Many of you have been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years in church. You have heard tens of thousands of sermons. You should be able to disciple someone. You should be able to share the gospel with someone. You should be able to build up someone else in the faith. And you should be doing that now, at every stage of your Christian life. That is how you can grow. Because it is when you teach someone else, then you realize from the questions that they ask you, oh, actually, I don't know this, and I don't know that. And that forces you to go back to the Word of God. That forces you to grow in the faith. And that is what God wants us to be. God wants us to be continuously growing in the faith, not stagnating, not backsliding, right? And constantly applying the Word of God. And that is what Jesus is saying here as well. We are to teach sound doctrine. We are to make disciples, bring them in into the church by evangelizing them, right? All these non-Christians, bring them in and then build them up in the most holy faith by teaching them to observe all things that Christ has commanded us. And that is the whole counsel of God. And the second thing that Titus was told by the Apostle Paul, that he is to also not just teach sound doctrine, but to avoid foolish questions. Now, this is one difficulty that many of us face as Bible study leaders or even as pastors, right? Sometimes a lot of questions are being raised by people, and some of these are foolish. And some of these should not be entertained, because some of these need to be basically nipped in the bud. Why? Because Titus 3 verse 9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And therefore, as Bible study leaders, you need to be very, very wise to know how to answer questions so that it will not engender strife and cause confusion among the body of Christ. Right, there will be some people who like to show off and ask very difficult questions. There are mysteries in the Bible that are not revealed by God. And my answer to some of these mysteries and some of these questions that relate to these mysteries is that God did not reveal these mysteries to us. He did not reveal the answers to these mysteries to us, because they are not meant for us to know. God did not intend for us to know some of these things, and therefore we must be content to submit to the will of God, that we need not know some of these things. But one day when we go to heaven, when we are with Christ, we can ask Him all those questions that we don't understand. And Deuteronomy 29:29, very easy to remember. Deuteronomy 29:29 reminds us that the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed to us belong to us. Things that are very clearly revealed to us, that we are to obey the commandments of God, they belong to us, and we have to go and be not just hearers of the word, we are to be doers of the word as well. All right, so we must avoid foolish questions. And thirdly, we must also counsel heretics. We must deal firmly with heresies that come within the church. Verses 10 to 11 of chapter 3 of Titus. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. You know, if we teach our people sound doctrine, then they will be able to be alert to heresies and false doctrines that come into the church when they hear it. As Titus realized, there are heretics and false teachers coming from within the church at Crete. So he must be aware of what is happening and what is being taught in those churches. Now, that is an impossible task. If he has many churches, he cannot be at every pulpit in every church. He cannot be at every Bible study. So what happens? So how can he know where are the false teachings that have arisen? From all of us, from all the members of the church. All of you are to be the eyes and the ears for the Church of Christ. Every one of you is important. When you hear a false doctrine that comes in through the Bible study, right, you are to be alert to it. So how can you be alert to it? You have to know sound doctrine. When you know sound doctrine, when you know the truth, when error comes in, you automatically, immediately detect it. Right? Someone once said that people who work in banks, right, how do they detect false counterfeit notes? Well, every day they are dealing with real notes, right? They know the real notes. They know the feel of the real notes, the texture, the color, the thickness of the plastic that is used, the material that is used, the feel of it, the color of it, and all the security features of every genuine note. They can tell, right? They just look at it, they feel it, they know it's a genuine note. And then when a counterfeit note comes in, straight away they see the color is not the same, right? The texture is not the same, the thickness is not the same, the security features are not there, right? So immediately they can tell that it's a false or counterfeit note. The same with us. If you know the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, the sound doctrines, when false doctrines come in, immediately you can detect. And you can raise an alert. You can talk to the elders. You know, I heard about this thing. I can't put a finger about what's wrong with this doctrine. Can you enlighten me? You can talk to the elder. You can talk to the pastors. You can talk to the deacons. So likewise, all of us must grow in the faith, and so that we can nip all these heresies and false doctrines in the bud. Just like coronavirus. If coronavirus had been contained in the city, what is it there for? Okay. If the coronavirus had been contained in the city, right, in the original country, and they have not been transported all over the world, we would not have to suffer the past 3 years of COVID-19 disease, right? So it is important for all of us to nip the false doctrine in the bud. The virus need to be nipped in the bud early and not allowed to spread throughout the church. So all of us need to be alert. Every one of us is to be our brother and our sister's keeper. All right, so the Apostle Paul have told Titus that you need to do all these things. These are general instructions for every church that you are dealing with, that you are feeding the flock in the island of Crete. And then he went on to specific instructions. What are these specific instructions? They're instructions for men, they're instructions for women and children, and they're instructions for leaders, the three main groups in Titus chapter 2. And Titus is to disciple every group of these people in the church. Firstly, the men, right? Titus chapter 2, verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Aged men doesn't just refer to older, although generally that's the case, the more senior, but more importantly, spiritually mature men. right? Spiritually mature men who are sound in the faith. And secondly, the mature women, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So verse 2 about mature men, verse 3 about spiritually mature women. And then verse 4 about young women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love the children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then verse 6, young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So the categories of the senior, mature men, the mature women, and young men. Right, and then verses 7 and 8 relates to the leaders. In all things showing thyself, referring to Titus, as well as by extension, the leaders of the church, the elders of the church, the pastors of the church. A pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. All right, so these are the specific instructions. Firstly, for men. Verse 2. That the mature men, the elder men, the older men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now the older men are to be sober and clear-headed, right? Clear-minded. And that is a problem for a lot of older men, right? I think many of us are in WhatsApp groups, you know, our friends, people who have grown older, and sometimes they're not very clear-minded, right? Sometimes the things that they send to you by WhatsApp, sometimes they send many messages to you, right? In the middle of the night or 3 a.m. in the morning, and all kinds of funny stuff that they got from other people, they just forward to you without thinking, without sieving through, right? Not very clear-minded. We are to be good testimonies for Christ. You don't just send things that are not good. Right? There are things that are not consistent with our testimony, things that are not biblical. You don't just send messages to anybody. Right? So you have to be sober, to be clear-minded, clear-headed. You are to be respectable as well, grave, worthy of respect, dignified. Now, not many elderly men are dignified, sad to say. Right? Many of them are quarrelsome. Many of them are not dignified. They're not worthy of respect. So this is something that we must strive towards. We must grow in holiness as we grow in our age. We ought to be more dignified, ought to be more respectable in our speech, in our conduct. This means that we ought not to be so stubborn. It's very sad that a lot of old men are very, very stubborn, right? They will not listen to their wives. They will not listen to good advice from their wives or from their family members or even from their children. And that is sad. Right, we ought to change. We ought to be self-controlled. We ought to be clear-headed. We ought to be sound in our faith to continue to grow. Right, some young people, some of the elderly, you know, when we invite them for Bible study, they say, "Ah, that's for young people. I'm already old. I don't need to attend Bible studies." No, you ought to be sound in your faith. You ought to be growing in your understanding of God's word, especially if you are a grandparent. Some of your grandchildren are going to ask you very difficult questions. Right? Are you able to answer those questions? Every day they will be bombarding you with those questions. Are you able to answer those questions? If you can't, then you must join the Bible study. Right? Join the study of God's word. Join the family seminar so that you can grow in the faith, so that you can understand. Join the prayer meeting. Learn how to pray so that you can teach your children and your grandchildren how to pray. You are to be in charity. Right, be in charity, in patience. You are to be loving, loving God and loving your neighbor. And you are also to be persevering, patient in your Christian life. The Christian life is a marathon. As you grow longer, grow in age, you find that you need more perseverance. You need to remind yourselves of the basics of the Christian faith. The Christian life is not a 100-meter sprint. We need to continue to do good, to continue to be sound in faith, to continue to be dignified, respectable, to continue to be disciple makers, to continue to be evangelizing, to seize every opportunity to say a word for Jesus. And so here I give you an example of what I did in Life Church. We have the men's ministry, right? I started the men's ministry in 2016. And thank God for a large number of men who came forward. And we divided them into two groups. On Friday night, there was a meeting. And on Saturday morning, there was another meeting so that I could divide them into smaller groups to provide more opportunities for men to serve as leaders in these small groups, to facilitate the discussions and also to pray for one another. All right, and this is focused very much on building up men to be godly men after God's own heart. And we use this book by Richard Phillips, who is a pastor in the 10th Presbyterian Church in America, entitled Masculine Mandate. And in this book, he described how, going back to Genesis, to creation in the Garden of Eden, God appointed Adam with a specific role to be godly men and godly fathers and godly husbands, to be the leaders in the home and to be the leaders in church, so that they, men, will be building up others, to be disciple makers, so that they can build up other men and other women in the church, at a workplace, in society, to be disciple makers for Christ. And we thank God for the men who are grounded in the faith, and many of them continue to serve the Lord faithfully even until today. And this is my prayer as well, that men in this church will also likewise come forward to take up leadership roles in this church, in every Bible study, in prayer meetings, to be prayer warriors. If your wives aren't praying, then you ought to be praying. You ought to be leading your wives in praying and in the study of the Word of God, so that our families will be strong and we will be protected from temptations and from our own sins, that we have the strength to overcome temptations and our sins as well. And likewise, young men, we are to exhort them to be sober-minded. Verse 6, to be clear-minded, just like the older men. They are to be the models for the young men. And it is a sad thing that many churches do not have godly, older, mature men. Many of them are too busy in the things of this world. Many of them have become CEOs and CIOs, you know, or COOs of the companies, you know, or senior positions in their own respective companies. They have no time for God. They have no time to come to prayer meeting. They have no time to participate in Bible studies. That ought not to be the case. The instruction here is very, very clear, that older men, mature men, ought to be godly examples, role models for the younger men, so that they can be inspired to likewise learn from the godly mature men, to be clear-minded, right? To likewise be growing up in the most holy faith. And it is said that many young men, even Christian young men, they are following the rest of the world. They are going to the pubs. They are drinking, like the people of the world, merrymaking, partying. Many of them are drunk with wine, with party drugs, drunk on video games, addicted to video games. Right? Or we have seen a couple of months ago in Suntec itself, right? Many of them dressed up as women, cosplay, anime, right? Many of you have seen that. Instead of being godly men after God's own heart, we are becoming women. Many young men are becoming women, effeminate, and learning about the bad things, the worldly things in this world. We are not to be childish. We don't just, as we grow up, accumulate more and more boy toys. Right? Some men never grow up. As they become rich, they just buy bigger and bigger and more expensive toys. Tech gadgets, right? They like to have their man cave in their own house. The man cave where they can be a boy again, even though they are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. They just want to be a boy. They don't want to grow up. And that is sad. That's a sad indictment of our society today. We ought to be growing up, to be aspiring to be godly, mature men, to be disciple makers. Right? We are to be godly fathers and husbands, to grow up, not be childish. We are to be able to read the Bibles with young men. And I like this that is being done in some of the churches. I've seen this done successfully. A Bible reading program. And I hope we can do this in time to come, that we will be encouraging every member of Cornerstone Church to be reading the Bible with somebody in church or outside of the church, or with your colleagues in the workplace. Read the Bible with somebody. read the Bible with a younger believer or with a non-Christian, and that way you can reach them for Christ. Read the Bible with someone, and when you start reading the Bible, you will realize that there are a lot of things that you don't understand, and there will be questions that will be leveled at you, and you need to study so that you can also answer those questions. T.S. Mooney was a banker, and he was a lay leader. Right? He worshipped at a church in Londonderry in Northern Ireland. He was also a very faithful Sunday school teacher. In fact, he started a Sunday school class for boys, and he was a teacher for 55 years. That's faithfulness for you, right? A teacher of Sunday school of boys for 55 years. I read his very moving biography entitled Mission Completed, and it was written also by his students after his death in 1986. His students remember him as a marvelous Bible teacher who brings the Bible characters to life. He was an excellent, excellent expositor of the Bible, not because he went to seminary, he did not, but because he spent his entire life to study the Bible, the commentaries, and to pray, right, and to know the Word of God. His aim in the class is to give each boy a book, a Bible in his hand, a Savior in his heart, and a purpose in his life. And he has achieved that in many of these boys who came through his Sunday school class. Many of his students credited T.S. Mooney for their salvation and for their call to Christian ministry. Many of them became pastors and full-time ministers or leaders in their respective churches. T.S. Mooney was not just a man of the Bible, but he was also a man of prayer. He would write down the name of every boy in a notebook. And every day, every morning, he would be found praying for every boy in the notebook, in his Sunday school class, for their salvation, for their sanctification. And this has been credited with the power of his ministry in his Sunday school, because the students, the boys, saw the reality of the faith, the reality of the God of T.S. Mooney. As he preached, as he taught from the Bible, they saw the reality of this man of God, that there is a true and living God who has empowered T.S. Mooney in his ministry. And in fact, when T.S. Mooney died, they found him by the bedside, kneeling by the bedside, praying over this notebook for every boy in his Sunday school class. What a beautiful picture. What a way to be taken home to be with the Lord, to be found praying for someone, for the health of the church. And so the Sunday school teachers play a very, very important role. And also, not just Sunday school for boys and for girls, but Sunday school for adults, as I've already shared with you, how I was grounded in the faith as I attended an adult Sunday school class in Life Church. And that was how I grew in the faith. And so having given instructions for men, Titus was now given instructions for women. What are we to teach women? We are to teach women in verses 3 and 4. The aged women, the older women, the mature women, they are to likewise be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women good things as well. So we are to teach mature women to be holy in character, to be not slanderers, not gossipers, not alcoholics, not drunk, so that they can teach young women by their word and example. Right, so mature women have a very important role. Whether you are grandparents, your mothers, or daughters, you have a very important role to play in your own homes and also in church to inspire other young women likewise to be godly, to also grow in maturity. But sadly, that is not the case in many churches. There is one church that I visited. Very sadly, the church split because there was a quarrel in the church kitchen by senior women, right, who were quarreling and they were fighting. In the end, one of the women called the police. Can you imagine police coming to church on Sunday over a police report given by a senior woman fighting with another senior woman in church? What a shame that they have brought to the gospel of Christ, to the name of Christ. And so senior women, mature women, we must guard ourselves, right? You must guard your speech. You must guard your behavior. You must guard your thoughts, right? You must guard what you send on the WhatsApp messages, right? You must always remember that you are an ambassador for Christ. You are to be holy, not false accusers, not slanderers, not gossipers, right? Sometimes we can get so embroiled in all these debates and arguments with other sisters or rumor mongering by women, right? Not false accusers, not slanderers. Don't be fighting with others, but we ought to be more dignified, kinder and gentler, more godly in our speech, in our WhatsApp messages. Is it edifying? Ask ourselves before we send a message, is it true? Is it edifying? Does it build up the faith of other people? Or will it stumble a non-believer? Or will it stumble a younger Christian? Right, so we are to teach others and young women also by our example, and also to teach children. And that's verses 4 and 5. You have to teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love the children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So we have to teach young women specific instructions. I don't have time to go into the details, right? And that's why the family seminar is for, right? Family seminar gives us an opportunity for us to go into details. What are you to do on a day-to-day basis? How can you be godly young wives, young mothers? Right? How do you love your husbands as Christ loved the church as well? How can you nurture your children in godliness? How can you be home-based and yet be having a career? How can you be self-controlled, pure, kind, and blameless in your speech, in your conduct, even in your conversations with your husband? Even when you don't agree with your husbands, how can you disagree with your husband in a gentle, respectful manner, so that we can all grow in godliness and encourage our husbands also to grow in godliness. My own experience in our Bible study groups in Life Church is that there is a great need for us to come together as families, as young parents, to come together to study the Word of God. And I notice very often that as young families are being set up, as couples get married, before they got married, they're very active in the youth groups, in the Sunday school, as teachers, in the Bible studies and so on. But as they get married, as they have children, they have no time. They're so consumed by the responsibilities and duties as fathers and mothers, they don't come together to study the Bible. And so this is something that we need to remedy in our churches. And that is why in Life Church I started the NBCs on a Saturday morning and also on a Friday night. And on Saturday morning, we find that this is a sweet spot in terms of time for the young parents to come together, and we will have people who take care of the children, right? So there are ladies and older ladies, mothers, who take care of the children in the children ministry. And so we need many of you to come forward to do that, right? To take care of the children, to have a children ministry program concurrent with the parents' Bible study, so that the young parents can focus on studying the Word of God. So I have the fathers in one group, the mothers in one group, and the single ladies or the widows or widowers, the widows in another group, and then the older men in another group, right? And the children taken care of by a separate group of children ministry leaders, so that all of us can study the Word together and we can grow together. So all that is done within 1 hour and 15 minutes, and then each of these small groups will then pray for one another and share with each other their struggles, their spiritual life, and then they will grow together. And during the week, the mothers will keep in touch with each other. Hey, I'm praying for you, you know, for upcoming surgery or for your children's struggles, for the illness, you know, and things like that. And that in that way, the parents have a support group, and they grow together in the faith. And from time to time, we will have outings. We go out for outings, and the outings are wonderful opportunities for us to refresh ourselves in the body, but at the same time, also to invite newcomers, right? Invite new people into our groups, so that they too may be able to join us in our Bible studies. And then we have the ladies' adult Sunday school class, which I encourage my wife, Wendy, to start. This is the adult ladies' Sunday school class to teach, firstly, on biblical womanhood. As I have started the men's ministry to teach on biblical manhood, we need a class for women. So women need to be taught what is God's role for us as women, single women, married women, mothers, grandmothers, right? Every one of us as daughters or as parents, grandmothers, we have a role to play. All right? And so this class is still going strong. And in the process, we are able to bring in other mature women to also co-lead and co-teach in the Sunday school class. And in that way, we disciple more teachers of the Word. So that it's not just Wendy herself, but also other ladies who can take over the teaching of other ladies. All right, so the goal of discipleship. What is the goal of our discipleship? So that we may all grow in our faith, that we may grow in holiness. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 reminds us that we have been saved by the grace of God, and that that salvation has come to us, and we are to deny ungodliness, verse 12, and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So this means that all of us, right, not just the members, but also Titus himself, must model godliness. In the next two verses, in 7 and 8, in Titus chapter 2, relates to leaders, right? Leaders, Titus himself. Verse 8, sound speech, or rather, verse 7, in all things showing thyself, Titus, a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, that Titus himself must be a godly example of good works, to be teaching sound doctrine, that by his speech and conversation, and by his Christian life, that no critics can condemn him. Right? So leaders are also to set the example of teaching, of not just good works, but also teaching of the highest quality in content, in manner, in integrity, and in seriousness. And his daily conversation must also be blameless, right? Cannot be condemned, so that those who are opposing the leaders may be ashamed, having no evil thing to speak of him. Now, it is said that some of us who know about this man called Ravi Zacharias, he used to be a very famous international apologist, right? He's an apologist because he defends the Christian faith. And he was so well known, he was so effective in apologetics that he has written many books on it. And he was a very well sought after international conference speaker all over the world. And he has also come to Singapore as well. But after his death, sadly, we found that there were already many allegations against him of sexual misconduct, of having many pictures of naked women in his laptop. Of him even traveling with a lady, Masu, who would do all kinds of sexual things for him, even though he is married. Right? And all this came to light after his death. And this brought shame to the kingdom of Christ. And I had to throw away a lot of his books that I used to have, right? Because I would not use any of his books anymore. All his entire ministry is tainted by his sins. And this is where leaders need to guard ourselves. We need to ensure that we are godly. We are consistent with the gospel that we preach. And this is what Reverend Robert Murray Machine says, that my people's, in other words, my church, greatest need is my personal holiness. I must guard myself. I must be holy as Christ, as God is holy. If I preach the gospel of Christ, then I must resemble Christ in my holiness. And so leaders have a great responsibility, whether you are deacons, elders, Bible study leaders, or pastors, to be growing in the likeness of Christ. There is no way for us to be to let our guard down. Right? Because the moment you let your guard down, Satan will attack you. Satan will attack you. So it's necessary for us to be vigilant always. All right, so my desire for Cornerstone Church is that pastors, elders, and deacons be discipling the mature men as well as other ministers, whether it be in the Bible College, that's why I teach in the Bible College, so that I can counsel, I can teach the next generation of leaders and missionaries, that we can send them back to their respective countries in Myanmar and Cambodia and Indonesia and Malaysia, or whichever country they come from, so that they can also be disciple makers as well. That we can disciple mature women and as well as non-Christians. We can preach the gospel every Lord's Day and in our Bible studies. And mature men also is to disciple younger men and women, children and non-Christians. And likewise, mature women needs to be counseling and discipling younger women, children and non-Christians. And what are the things that we can do in Cornerstone Church? In evangelism, for example, and I'm looking forward to all these exciting things that will happen this year, God willing, right? Evangelism, that we can start exploring Christianity classes, and we can have links online for people to sign up, for non-Christians to sign up, for they are interested to know more about Christ, and we can gather all these people together, and then we can have these classes with, either on Sunday or on weekdays on Zoom. Right, we can also continue our Lucky Plaza outreach as we are currently doing to bring more and more people into God's kingdom. And we, after they have come to know Christ, we need to build them up in the most holy faith. So we need to continue to teach them the basic Bible knowledge and also one-to-one reading of the Gospels. Right, so that is the milk that we can give to them, and all of us should be equipped to read the Gospel together. And then church-wide, we need to have every one of us involved in Bible studies and one-to-one Bible reading and also conducting family worship for those who are parents. All right, so we have seen here how the complete roadmap, right, the strategy for building up Cornerstone Church is seen even in this Titus chapters 2 and 3 and in chapter 1 of how we can make disciples by the pattern that Titus had been given by the Apostle Paul, the general instructions on teaching sound doctrine, to avoid foolish questions, to counsel heretics, and the specific instructions to men, women, and the leaders of the church. And I pray that all of us will be excited, that we will be part of this ministry, that we will be part of this program to grow in the most holy faith, to be holy as God is holy, to make disciples for Jesus, so that Cornerstone Church will be a growing church, will be a vibrant church, will be a church that will continue to make more disciples for Christ. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word that is truth. We thank thee for all these instructions that you've given to us, that we ought to be not just hearers of your word, but also doers of your word. So change us. Make us more and more like Jesus. Make us disciple makers. Change our hearts. Take away our lethargy and inertia. Take away our unwillingness and reluctance to change. Change us into the image of Christ so that we may be ambassadors for Christ, that we may be disciple makers for Christ. Because we long to see and hear one day when Christ will commend us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, because we have been obedient to your will." And now, Lord, as we partake even later on of the Lord's Supper, may you examine our hearts, where we have fallen, where we have fallen short of thy glory, where we have fallen short of being a disciple maker. O Lord, change us. Help us to resolve this year that we will waste no more time, because 1 month has passed, that we will waste no more time to reach out to someone who is outside Christ, to make a disciple for Christ, that we will make 2023 a year when we will do the will of God for Jesus Christ. For his sake we pray. Amen.